We're glad to bring you this message from Timeless Truths Radio Ministry with Pastor Jerry Burns. We trust that you'll be blessed as you apply these timeless truths to your daily life.
Now, I understand this morning that this is divisive to many, especially living in a world that doesn't believe in absolute truth. I mean, we want to live in a world today, the world wants to live in a world that where everyone is right. And everyone has their own truth, and they can just follow their own truth, and it's going to lead us all to the same place. But this is not God's declaration.
It's always such a wonderful blessing to be able to study the Word of God. Pastor Burns, I heard that you're going to begin a brand new message this morning. We're so excited. I know for me personally, God always has something for me both to learn and to help me to grow. And that's why it's so important that we study and read His Word. Pastor Burns, you have our full attention. Let's learn this morning's timeless truth.
Shall come and let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word and its truth for our life. And Lord, I pray that you would give us some truths to help us, to guide us, to direct us. Lord, help us to make good decisions for you this morning, and may your word be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, give me the words to say and the boldness and the strength to say it. And again, Lord, I pray your blessing upon every aspect of our service and the preaching of your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is looking for one who will seek him with all of their heart. I understand this morning that there are many things that are calling for our attention, many things that are wanting us to follow after or to seek after. And yet the promise in the Bible is that when we seek the Lord, we will find him. If we knock, the door will be opened unto us. What does it truly mean to seek the Lord? We use that expression, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. What does it mean to seek the Lord? Well, to seek the Lord means to have a personal relationship with him. To seek the Lord is to have a personal relationship with him. In Psalm 63, verse 1, the psalmist said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. O God, thou art my God. Notice that personal statement. Thou art my God. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. To seek the Lord is to have a personal relationship with him. To seek the Lord is to desire more from him. The Bible says in our text here in Psalm 63, it says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In the book, A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozer writes these words. He says, come near to the holy men and women of the past, and you will soon feel the heat of their desire after God. They mourned for him, they prayed and wrestled and sought for him day and night, in season and out. And when they had found him, the findings was all the sweeter for the long seeking. Complacency is a deadly foe to all spiritual growth. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. To seek God is to pursue him to fill the vacuum in our life. It's easy to fill our life with other things, with pleasures and hobbies and all these things, but seeking after God means that we're going to fill that emptiness with the only one that can satisfy, God himself. And in Psalm 63, David had lost so much in his life. He had lost his family. He had lost his material possessions. And yet he wasn't seeking after those things. He was seeking God and God alone. And so to seek the Lord is to seek God with all of our heart, that God would bring that satisfaction into our life. And I believe in Isaiah 44, the Bible gives us a special blessing and promise to those that seek after the Lord. God is describing his blessing on the righteous one. And God is illustrating Israel as that righteous individual. In fact, we notice in our text in chapter 44, it uses the name Jezreel. And the name Jezreel means the upright one or the righteous one. And the name is only used three more times in the Old Testament. It's used in Deuteronomy 32:15 and Deuteronomy 33, verses 5 and verse 26. It's a name which has its foundation in grace, because Israel had been was deep in sin, and yet God calls them the righteous one. God calls them the upright one, the beloved. And so it speaks of the grace of God in our life. And I believe it's a wonderful picture of the Christian life. We are sinners saved by the grace of God, and we are declared righteous by God himself because of the merits of Jesus Christ. And so this passage of scripture allows us to illustrate God's work in our life, his salvation in our life, and really the blessing and the promise of one that would seek God with all of their heart. And so let's notice, if we could, some wonderful truths about the righteous one, the upright one, and what God wants to do in our life if we seek the Lord with all of our heart. Number one, I want you to notice with me, if you're taking notes this morning, number one, God is our satisfaction. God is our satisfaction. In verse 3, the Bible says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." Listen, all of us today have needs. There's not a person here or a person listening to the live stream that doesn't have a need in their life, that doesn't have troubles or hurts or burdens or disappointments. And yet the promise of the Bible is that God, in these difficult times and in these good times, God is the one that satisfies. God is the one that meets the needs in our heart. In fact, letter A in our notes this morning, God will satisfy the thirsty soul. God will satisfy the thirsty soul. The Bible says, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty," like water to the thirsty. God's word and God's truth satisfies the longing, thirsty soul. The righteous one, the upright one, seeks God with all of their heart as one that would seek water to quench their thirst. They're seeking the Lord. They're seeking God in his truth. You know, I don't know if you've ever had to drink water when you weren't thirsty. It's difficult to do. To eat food when you don't have an appetite. The old saying is, a good meal begins with a good appetite. You're hungry enough, you'll eat anything. Now, the reality is that God is comparing this with our spiritual pedigree. You want to measure your spiritual pedigree today? You want to look at your spiritual condition? Then ask yourself this question: am I thirsty for the things of God, or is my thirst somewhere else? When my kids were younger, well, not even younger, even now, they would come to the kitchen table. My wife would make a wonderful meal and set it on the table, and then they would say those dreaded words to my wife: "I'm not hungry." And normally we understand that if they're not hungry at supper time, it means that they satisfied their hunger somewhere else. And so we look for some candy wrappers that may be lying around. At the end of the day, if a Christian's not thirsty for God, it means that they're quenching their thirst in things that are not going to satisfy. They're seeking things that are not going to last, or seeking things that are not going to meet the needs of their life. And so the Bible says, no, the upright one will find their satisfaction in God, and God. And God will satisfy the thirsty soul. How is your appetite for the Word of God today? You know, I've been a pastor here at Kitchener Baptist Church, I can't believe this, for over 10 years. I've been at Kitchener Baptist Church for over 16 years. And I appreciate the congregation at Kitchener Baptist Church. I had the opportunity to preach in so many other churches over my years. But one thing I know about Kitchener Baptist Church, and most of the people love to hear the Word of God.
Hey, this is Josh. We'll get back to the message this morning in just a moment. We wanted to invite you in joining us in this ministry of proclaiming the gospel message to our region. Please pray for us as we endeavor to share God's timeless truths, but also your financial investment is appreciated. You can send a financial gift by mail to 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Or you can e-transfer to send your gift by using the email give@kitchenerbaptist.org. Your financial gift would be a great blessing and encouragement to us, and it will help us stay on air and share God's timeless truths to our community. We would love to pray for you. If you have a prayer request, head on over to timelesstruthsradio.com and send us your prayer request today. We believe that God hears and answers our prayers, and we are excited to add your requests to our prayer list. If you have any questions about this morning's message, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you, even if it's just a word of encouragement. You'll find our contact information at timelesstruthsradio.com. We are here to help you in any way that we can, so please do not hesitate to send us an email or give us a call. Okay, now that we've taken care of these items, let's get back to this morning's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jerry Burns.
And they're hungry to hear the Word of God. They're thirsty to hear the Word of God. And you know, you are an easy people to preach to. When people are hungry for God's Word and they want to grow and they want to learn and they want to hear the Word of God, you know, they're not looking at the clock and saying, when is this guy going to be done anyway? No, they want to know what God has to say. And they're thirsty to seek the face of God. God, I want you to tell me something I need to know today. I want you to give me help for my life. When you seek the face of God, you look to the Lord and find that satisfaction. God says, if you're thirsty, I'll satisfy you. I'll satisfy you. The hymn writer said, all my life long, I have panted for a drought from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his life I now am saved. The Bible teaches us that God will give and satisfy the thirsty, give water to the thirsty. But secondly, if you're taking notes, letter B, God will give us his Spirit. God will give us his Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to specific people for specific purposes. You know the story in the book of Judges in chapter 16 of Samson. When Samson was confronted with the Philistines, the Bible says that he got up to fight and he did not even know that the Lord was departed from him, that God had taken away his Spirit. We think of the story of David. When David was confronted by the prophet Nathan in Psalm 51, we see his prayer to God, his prayer for God to wash his sins away, to make him whole again. And what does David say? David said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Because God had given his Spirit to specific people for specific purposes. Now, this is why studying the Bible is important. Because as we transition into the New Testament, the New Covenant, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is given to those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. The moment you believe the gospel, put your faith and trust in the Lord, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. And we notice in our text here in verse number 5, the Bible says, one will say, I am the Lord's. And there's a strong connection between a believer and the Spirit's indwelling in their life. In fact, John said in 1 John that if you have not the Holy Spirit, you are not one of his. A Christian has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their life, and it's not you getting more of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit getting more of you. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Godhead, and he indwells our life. And the moment we trust Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit moves in. And friend, listen to me, he makes himself known pretty quickly. I always use the illustration, if you know, you have a man who marries a woman, and the man's not very neat and tidy, and you know, the woman, she's very neat and tidy, she moves into that home, she makes herself known pretty quickly. And the Holy Spirit, he makes himself known pretty quickly as he looks at our life, and he begins to work and direct us. And the Bible says that as a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He indwells us. In fact, if we could turn in our Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice this text with me. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. The Bible says this, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. So the gospel was preached, and someone believed the gospel. And notice what happens. In the moment that they believe the gospel, the Bible says ye are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And the idea there of seal is the idea of a king. In Bible days, he would have a ring, and that ring, that signet ring, he would use to seal a message. And that message would show that it was from the king, that it belonged to the king. And the Bible says that the moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus and believe the gospel, that we have that seal upon us, that we belong to God, and that seal is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says this, it says in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And the word earnest there is the idea of a down payment, that God is going to finish his redemptive work in our life. And to show that that work will be done, he has given us a down payment, his own Spirit to indwell us and to guide us and to lead us. When we purchased our piano, new to us, not brand new, but new to us, we went to the store and we gave them a down payment. And that down payment was to show that we are going to finish the transaction. And the Bible says when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, he gave us a down payment to show that he would finish his redemptive work. And that down payment is the Holy Spirit. And he indwells each of us. He comforts us. He comforts us. And he reminds us of truth and brings to our memory God's word and God's principles. And when we come in our life to a difficulty and we pray to our Heavenly Father and we don't even know the words to say, we can't even utter out the words because our heart is so broken and so burdened, we can't even get the words out of our mouth. The Holy Spirit takes over and he prays on our behalf. He is on our side. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'll send to you another comforter. The word there, another, is another of the same. He will come to you. He will guide you. He will help you. And so we find that Jesus has given us a comforter. Why? Because we need comfort in this world of crisis to guide us and to lead us. And of course, this passage of Scripture is speaking contextually of Israel and how God's Spirit would be upon this people and lead these people, but also prophetically of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit upon believers in this age as we strive to seek the Lord with all of our heart. Not only is God our satisfaction, but number two, would you write this down? God is our stability. God is our stability. You know, the Bible makes many declarations of truth. In fact, when we open the Bible, the very first verse we read, in the beginning, God, is a declaration that we have a creator God who made all things. And you're going to have a difficult time. You're going to have a difficult time believing the rest of the Bible if you can't believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You're going to have to make a choice. Is this truth? Will I accept it as truth, as God's declaration? Or will I live my life and believe a lie? And so we find in Isaiah 44 another declaration. The Bible says there is only one God. There is only one God. In verse 8, the Bible says God has declared it. There is only one God. Besides him, there is no other. Now, I understand this morning that this is divisive to many, especially living in a world that doesn't believe in absolute truth. I mean, we want to live in a world today, the world wants to live in a world that where everyone is right and everyone has their own truth and they can just follow their own truth and it's going to lead us to the same place. But this is not God's declaration. There is only one God, he says. And to believe a lie, to follow the advice of the world is to bring, listen to me, instability into your life. To know what is true, to know what is right, to know the declarations of God is to place your feet on a solid rock and to know what is right and to know what is wrong. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. What brings stability into your life is setting your feet upon a rock and trusting the God of the Bible. You see, letter A, trusting in a lie brings instability. Now, in our text here in verses 9 to 11, the Bible is really laying out for us the instability within Israel in believing and trusting in idols. He says here that idols are created by men. They're formed from wood. And trusting in these idols are not going to help you. He said they see not and they know not. And I understand today that in our society, it's not as much as idols on the shelf as idols in the self. And we have placed in our life things that we are looking to and seeking after more than God. And I want to remind you this morning that money cannot give you wisdom. And pleasure isn't going to guide you in the right direction in your life. All of these things are unprofitable. In fact, in verse 11, we notice that the Bible says that the creators of idols are men. And he says, why would you hope in that which is created by man? Why would you put your faith and trust in things that will not last? That they don't have any profit for your life, that cannot help you. I'm glad today that my salvation is not built upon that which man has created, but that which is founded in God, the eternal God. I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Would you turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, and turn with me in verse number 18, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. Hold your place in Isaiah 44 this morning. And notice what the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our salvation is not founded upon the tradition of men. Our salvation is founded upon the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we can trust God today. We can have that stability to know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we can trust God today with our eternal soul, wiser than men and faithful and true to the end. Friend, listen to me. Don't be deceived to put your trust in anything else. Now, it's interesting, in verse 13, the Bible kind of lays out the idea of idolatry. And it shows us how silly it is, how crazy it is that they would put their faith and trust in something made of wood. He says, verse 13, the idols that are created, they're created by carpenters. And the carpenter goes to the forest and he looks for a tree and he chops down that tree. And then he carves it into an idol. And what does he take? What does he do with the remainder of that idol? He throws it into the fire. And he uses it to heat his home, or he uses it to cook a meal. And God is saying, those ashes are your idol. It cannot help you. It cannot direct your life. It doesn't know anything about you. Why would you put your trust in these things? In verse 20, he says, you have a deceived heart. He said, you're holding this idol in your right hand. He says, you are holding a lie in your right hand to trust in this idol. This idol can't help you. By the way, the right hand in the Bible speaks of strength. And here the children of Israel were trying to find their strength and help from this lie. And they were being deceived. Isn't it a terrible thing to be deceived? It's a terrible thing to be deceived. Isn't it a terrible thing to think that you have something when you really don't? I remember one time I was studying for a test and I studied.
Thank you for joining us for this morning's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that preaches the Word of God. For more information about the ministries of our church and how we can be a blessing to you, check out our church website at kitchenerbaptist.org. Our radio program is available because of the faithful prayers and financial support of listeners just like you. You can support our ministry by sending a financial gift to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry at 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. That is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. You can also e-transfer your support to give at kitchenerbaptist.org. To learn more about our ministry, visit our website at timelesstruthsradio.com. Do you know the Jesus we talked about in this program? You can have abundant life through Jesus Christ right now. Just say yes to Jesus today. Fully trust in Him. Learn more about the Jesus of the Bible and how you can have eternal life. Check out our video at kitchenerhope.com. Once again, thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. From Pastor Burns and the Kitchener Baptist Church, have a wonderful day. Join us next week when we open our Bibles and learn more from God's timeless truths.